Hi everyone, Pentecost Sunday. What a great gathering it's been. I love that call to worship video right at the beginning. This Bible message now, we're going to look at some three great foundational truths on this Pentecost Sunday about the Holy Spirit. Pentecost, Pente, 50. It's 50 days this Sunday after Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. It's also the time we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read some of that Bible story in a moment. And it's also the birthday of the church. What happened all those years ago on Pentecost Sunday, 2,000 years ago? Birthed the church. Because of what they did then, we are here now. So it's our birthday. It's a birthday celebration. Now, back in the day when I was a boy, we never went to church. My parents, I didn't know anybody who went to church. But we celebrated this season, and it was then called Whitsuntide. Some of you listening to me, watching me, may recall that term, some may not. Whitsuntide, White Sunday Tide. That's what it meant. And for me, what that meant was getting up early as a young boy, having a lukewarm bath. Why were baths always lukewarm? I've no idea. Anyway, so I'd have a bath. I'd put on my new clothes, which my mum had got from the co-op for me, using tokens. Yes. Ah, I sound very old. I'm not really. I put on my new togs with a tie, and off I would be sent out down the street to visit all the neighbours. They would welcome me in and say how good I looked as a young chap with my new clothes on, and put some change, some money in my pocket. I would then go back home after visiting all the neighbours. Mum would take the money out. I'd take all my new clothes off, put them in the wardrobe, put my ordinary stuff on and go out and play. That was it. And I used to think at the time, and I did even now, think that what a great money-making enterprise this was. Now, I had to stop doing that when I was 17 because the short trousers looked rather ridiculous. That sounded a lot funnier when I thought about it earlier. Now, it may have been a bit of folk religion, this Whitsuntide thing, and have seemingly no spiritual significance, but I'm looking back now, I'm not so sure, because there was a sense of newness at Whitsuntide, and particularly about a fresh start. Particularly my mum, who had no spiritual or religious background at all, she loved this season for the idea of newness and fresh starts. And so I think maybe something was happening there in many lives. But let's get back to the God story now. And the God story, Pentecost kind of brings it all together. It's like the culmination of something. So we all know that we're familiar with the Old Testament, the story of God before Jesus came, foretelling this great Messiah, this great, that God would come and break into people's lives. And then Jesus came at Christmas time. We celebrate at Bethlehem. He was born, lived a fantastic life. We can read his stories in the Gospels. I love reading the Gospels. I hope you do too. And then the Holy Week narrative, where he died on Good Friday, but then came back to life on Easter Day, 50 days ago it was, on Resurrection Day. He stayed with his friends, teaching them more things, particularly about the Holy Spirit. And then he left them. And he said, you wait now, because the promise of the Holy Spirit is coming to you. And we're going to read that story right now. This is what happened on that day of Pentecost. You can read this in Acts chapter 2. Here we are, Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first four verses and a little bit at the end. There we go. Acts chapter 2. This is from the NIV Bible. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And then I'll go on to the end of that little passage there. And this is what the people who were listening said. We hear them, these people, declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, What does this mean? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. What does this mean? Well, we're going to look at what it means right now. What does it mean for us today? Because often we can hear these stories in the Bible and they're just religious stories from the past, covered in dust, or they become a spiritual reality for us now, today. Because that's why the Bible is the word of God. It's the real and now word of God, revealing new things to us, a spiritual reality. Okay, two things now. This is what's going to happen now. So if there are children here, could you gather around the screen, however you're watching this? Just gather around now. And grown-ups, if the children have left while you're watching this, they're probably out trashing the house or raiding the fridge, or maybe even doing both. If you want to bring them back in right now, and you'll recall that on the email that was sent out on Friday, I asked if you would, grown-ups, get some paper ready, blank paper, and some coloured pens and crayons or felt tips, whatever. And also get your phone ready or your camera, because I want you to take a photo, a screenshot of something that's going to appear on the screen. So bring them all in. Okay, are you all ready, children? Before we go any further, I want you to say, "Hi, Mick," in a moment. Okay, I'm going to say hi, children, then you're going to say hi, Mick. Are you ready? Nice and loud. Hi, children. Hi, Mick. There we go. I hope you grown-ups were joining in there. Okay, now you may recall, children and grown-ups, that on Easter Day, I showed you two pictures. There was one here, and this is, yes, it's Mr. Sad. Do you remember? But I also showed you another picture, and that picture was, where is he gone? There he is, Mr. Happy. Can you see? Mr. Sad and Mr. Happy. Now, a few people contacted me to say that they thought that the vicar, me, looked a bit like Mr. Sad. But thank you for the millions who wrote in to say, no, the vicar looks like Mr. Happy. That's what the vicar is, Mr. Happy. There we go. Well, I'm going to introduce to you now a new character, okay? Fresh off the shelf, this one is, and never been seen before. And here he is. This, I think you can see him here. I'll put him on this side, I think. And this, can you see? There we go. And this, children and grown-ups, is Mr. Holy Spirit. You can see there, Mr. Holy Spirit. You can see the flame. Can you see? And you can see his smiley face. There we go. And you can see there. Can you see? He's got all these words written on him. Take a photograph. Snap, there we go. And take one further back. There we go. That's Mr. Holy Spirit. Now, some might say that he bears a resemblance to a character in a Disney film, Beauty and the Beast. Now, I need to tell you, that is purely coincidental. Absolutely. This is a fresh new little drawing that I did and will appear in my best-selling book, which is going to be released sometime, never. But there we are. So I'm going to put Mr. Holy Spirit on the wall here. Put a little tack in the wall, so we're just going to put him on there. I didn't even tell Tricia I was putting a tack in the wall, but there we go. It's fine. So that's Mr. Holy Spirit. So children, I want you to start now just colouring him in, and doing whatever you want to do with Mr. Holy Spirit. Don't forget, lots of red and lots of yellow, and this thing's coming out of him. He's a joy, he's a happy man, a happy little character. Now, while that's happening, I just briefly want to talk to the grown-ups on this Pentecost Sunday. And if you want to know more in-depth stuff about the Holy Spirit, let me point you again to the Grow modules in the Live Life Better series. Remember, they were in three sections. The last one, when we looked in depth at the Holy Spirit, who he was, what he did, and how we receive the Holy Spirit. So I want to point you to that. But this morning, I want to give three foundational truths very quickly. And I really hope and pray that God speaks to us through this. And the first thing about the Holy Spirit is this. These are three simple things to easily remember and explain to other people about the Spirit. That the Holy Spirit enables us, enables the presence of Jesus in our lives. So it is the presence of Jesus that he enables in our life. In other words, we are aware of Jesus, but there comes a point when we receive Jesus. That was my story. I was aware of Jesus. I had not been brought up in church or no spiritual background at all. But as I've said many times, through friends and a colleague at work, Tristan became aware of something different in their life, and they said this was Jesus. They were Christians. And so we became aware of Jesus, but then came a point where I had to receive Jesus. Being aware and receiving are two different things. And what then happens is, St. Paul in the Bible made this very clear. What happens is we can then say, Christ in me, the hope of glory, because I've received his presence into my life. He also goes on to say elsewhere in another letter, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And what happens is the presence of Jesus releases all the attributes and characteristics of Jesus in our life. And this is called the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And this, the Holy Spirit, there, you'll see them. You can read them in the Bible in Galatians chapter 5. Remember, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. They're all written on Mr. Holy Spirit there. And this fruit of the Holy Spirit is released as the presence of Jesus comes into our life. And I can say that Trish and I have seen this fantastically in you wonderful people in this church over the many years we've been here in leadership. We've seen the presence of Jesus. As you've been on Alpha courses, you've been to Sunday church and midweek communities. We've just seen the presence of Jesus upon you. And then as you've received Jesus, his fruit coming out of you. We've seen that. It's a tangible, realistic thing. But the Holy Spirit does something else as well, not just the presence of Jesus, but he releases, secondly, the power of Jesus. I love the song that we sing. It's one of my favourites, it really is. I know it's one of Becca's favourites as well. What a beautiful name. Do you remember that then? The last refrain on that, what a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. We read in Acts chapter 1 of verse 8, Jesus actually says these words. He says to his friends, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll receive power. And the word in the Greek there, it was written in the Greek language, is the word dunamis. I've said this before. It's a fantastic word. It can mean, we get the word dynamite from it, explosive power just everywhere. But also we get the word dynamo, which is this constant, just power, which just powers things. Keep going, keep going, keep going. And it's different for different people. But it's a wonderful thing. And I think the one fundamental thing this power gives us is a new confidence in our lives, a confidence in who we are, our identity. I've met so many people over the years, and basically they view life as a glass half empty constantly. In fact, sometimes on bad days, there's no glass at all with anything in it. And what this leads to is they have a disaster scenario, which is every day contains a disaster. Something's bound to go wrong. But when the Holy Spirit comes, this is a lie from the enemy of God about who you are, your identity. It's just a downright lie. Because what happens is the Holy Spirit comes, the presence of Jesus in your life. I know I'm a Christian. I've received God in my life. He's in my life. His fruit is in my life. And then he releases the power of Jesus in my life. And I have this new confidence to live my life who God made me to be. So it's the presence and the power. And then finally, the Holy Spirit reveals the purposes of Jesus. And that, dear friends, is when the Spirit breaks out. If we don't understand that, we receive the presence and the power and we keep it to ourselves. And the church has been guilty of that over the years. We're kind of, the charismatic movement has gathered people sometimes. We've had a bit of a Shabbat fest, haven't we? We've kept it all to ourselves in our church buildings. What I love about this church is that the Spirit has broken out. And we've seen that in so many lives, your lives. The purposes are different for different people. In my life, I knew that that God wanted me to be a change agent, to change things. I thought it was going to be an industry and management, but he got other ideas. And he decided that for myself and Trish and our family, that we were going to be change agents in his church. Now, this has been a far tougher job, far more difficult than being a change agent in the world in industry. I found it really difficult working in a culture that doesn't want to change and doesn't receive change. And that's why this church is so amazing, because it is a church that will want that. And the majority of us have seen that, and we've seen that over the years. And Trish and I have seen in you wonderful people, not just the presence of God, but the power and purposes of God being released and the Spirit breaking out in your lives. Maybe God is calling you to do something in your workplace, not just ministry in church, but in some way to make a difference. We're called to make a difference in the world. The presence, the power, and the purposes of Jesus. Let me finish now by saying this. This is my final Pentecost Sunday talk or sermon or Bible message. I won't do another one as your leader as we transition this summer into new leadership. And Trish and I pass the leadership on, and it will happen in the to Tom and Clarissa. More of that in a few weeks' time. But I was looking through, as you do when you start to come to an end of something, I was looking in my office at kind of archives, and I came across this. This is the first ever sermon that I did here. I started here in 2001, and I travelled over from the place we were living in the north of Sheffield because there was no house available for us. So I would be here for 8:30 in the morning, and I'd leave about 5:30 in the evening, travel back home, see the kids and Trisha, who I'd not seen all day. And I was back in the evening for meetings. It was really difficult to start with until the house was ready for us. And my first sermon here was on Pentecost Sunday. Here are the notes, scribble, scribble, scribble. And here is the talk. Here it is. Talks about vision in Acts 1 and 2, commission, confusion, revelation, proclamation, and salvation. I'm not going to go through it again. And at the bottom it says, can you see it and are you part of it? In fact, there we go. It was on an OHP. Look at that. Amazing. An OHP. I remember the sermon vividly because the guy in the OHP jammed it and it stopped working. Great. The sermon probably deserved it because it was probably very average. My first sermon. Some would say they've not changed much over the years. But that was my first sermon. And I remember saying on here that in this first sermon that my aim was to say there's a new vision for this church, for Crooks. We need to receive the Holy Spirit. And then it's for everyone this, because I think then when the church is 2000 plus, some people thought it's for the keen people and we'll just stay here and just do ordinary church. No, we don't do ordinary church in that way, steady church. It's for everyone. And God will reveal his purposes to you in your life. And it'll be hard work and it will involve risk. That's what I said to them in this sermon. 12 months later, here's the second sermon. Here it is. Filled with the Holy Spirit. That was 1 year later. And here's a little PowerPoint. There it is. And what happened in those 12 months was this. Some people left. I got emails and letters saying, you're not what we thought you were going to be. We thought we were going to proper vicar. And we got you. And but lots of people stayed and started to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The presence of Jesus was in their lives already. They were great Christians. But then we start to see, Trish and I, the power of Jesus being released in their lives and the purposes of Jesus released in their lives. And it all started to happen. It was wonderful. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And the risk factor started to come in. The church in our nation is risk averse. It just cannot do risk. But this church has always done risk. And the first point of risk was, you see that PowerPoint presentation? We got a new projector. The OHP went in the skip and we bought a new projector. It was a beast of a machine and we couldn't really afford it. But I said, we're going to buy it anyway. And we did. We bought it. Don't ask me how, but we bought it. And God supplied our needs. Because we made a statement with that, digital projector, which says this. We are not staying in the past. We are not going to stay with the old things, the OHP. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to get into God's future. We're going to risk and break out. And many will join us. And they have done. The church then was about 150, if that. And look at it now. So, in a few moments, I'm going to pray. But before I do, I want you to remember this. When the Spirit comes, the risk he causes us to risk. This is not a foolhardy leap into the dark. It's not being stupid or anything like that. But it's about saying, faith, I'm going to step out now in faith and risk. We believe God wants us to do this. This church has always, always risked. And it always will. And God will honour that commitment to risk. The presence, the power and the purpose of Jesus. I'm going to pray for us now, but not here. Not here. You just watch. I'm going to pray somewhere else. I'm now going to fade out. In a few moments, I'll fade back in. See you the other side of the fade out. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the other side of the fade out. I'm now outside the church on the church ramp. Done quite a few videos from outside church over these past weeks, but I want to do this final one here now. Coming up the ramp, got to imagine it's Pentecost Sunday. And here we go. And here are the church steps. All racing up the steps. And we get to the front door, where I've been before. But this time, the door is opened. And in we go to the lobby. Here's the lobby. And the stairs up to the gallery, the office and the centre. But we can't hang about too much because we're late and it's Sunday. And it's full. Look at this. The church lounge has chairs all the way to the back. It's full. People are waiting. There's a buzz. They're expectant. It's Pentecost. And there you can see the auditorium, the worship area. We know there's going to be a call to worship video. The band are getting ready. The people are expectant in their seats. We'll go down the main aisle. And here on the left is where the Fervale crowd are and others. And here's the fire break. There you go. Blessed Alan sits down there, doesn't he? Alan Lamb. And over here we've got the young families. Can you see that? That's where you normally sit. Got the bags and snacks ready for the kids. There we go. And we're down to the front here. And people are looking round. Well, that's where I normally sit. That's my chair. Morning and evening. And here we have the dais. And the dais, whoops, there it is, the dais. And we're ready. The band is ready. Here's Becca. Here's the keyboard. The light is lit. The musicians are ready. We're getting ready to welcome Jesus into our worship place. And here waiting for us, as always, is Mr. Holy Spirit. He's here, look. He's always here waiting for the people of God. And here are the two great foundations of this church, the Holy Spirit and the cross of Jesus. Amazing how these have been the foundations of SDC. And here now, it's me. It's the vicar. And I wanted to come in church to do this final Pentecost blessing because it's the only place to do it. It has to be. Of all the festivals, Pentecost is the place where we gather together and see the power of God released amongst us. And before I give the blessing, I want to say this, that on the 23rd of March, when we went into lockdown, the nation and the church, everyone went into what I would call response mode. We responded as quickly as we could to this crisis, and this church did. We had our own Cobra meeting. The senior staff and others met once, twice a week. But we quickly moved out of that into a rebuilding mode, rebuilding new structures and frameworks, online church, all the stuff you see on our website now. And our staff team learned new skills very, very quickly. Video editing, how to do worship, family worship songs. Preachers like myself had to learn new skills, preaching into an iPhone. In a back bedroom, no preacher wants to preach into an iPhone. Preaching is about seeing the people and their faces and how the Word of God is impacting them. So thank you for staying the course and listening to these Bible talks. But we've learned these new modes of working, but we're moving out of rebuilding, and there'll be two other phases the church will move into. Mark my words, these will be renewal and revival.
because the church will start to be renewed in new ways, and this church will be, and then out of renewal will come this great revival, I believe, in our nation. And STC is going to play a significant part in that. Why? Because we're a risk-taking church. Safety-first churches will never have a leading part, but this church will. So, I wanted to say that to you before I give the final blessing. So, if you've got the kids around you or family, hold hands on Pentecost Sunday. Love to give this final Pentecost Sunday blessing now. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Pentecost, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on this day now, we receive this blessing. And may the presence of the Lord Jesus give us all peace. And may the power of the Lord Jesus be released into our lives and give us strength and courage. And may the purposes of the Lord Jesus bring us all great hope for the future. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and all those you love and those you are with now and those who are far away at the moment, now and in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, church. And from Tricia and myself on this Pentecost Sunday, on this final Pentecost as your church leaders, my final blessing to you. Know this, we love you. We are so, so proud of you. And we'll see you soon. God bless.